religion and being close to God is not about keeping rules, but it's about the love of Jesus that is there to reach out to you. Jesus wants to interrupt you with his love for you too.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about interruptions. Do you think Jesus wants to be interrupted? What about you? How do you feel when you're interrupted? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren explaining why Jesus wants our interruptions. Thanks for listening.
Bible reading from Matthew chapter 8. We see Jesus in action in Matthew 8, beginning at verse 1. Says this: When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See to it that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on them. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah: "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." That's our Bible reading for today. I think one of the biggest perks staying at a hotel is this thing: the do not disturb sign. I love using this when I stay at a hotel. I mean, it can, moms and dads, when you're at the hotel with your family, right? Dad can take a nap, and mom can lock herself in the bathroom and fill the tub with water and get some 60 minutes of spa-like silence, and you just put this on the door, and you can be assured the kids are watching a movie. You can be assured no strangers are going to come in. Everybody's safe, and it just tells people, stay away. We want to be alone. Please do not disturb. Think Jesus ever wanted one of these? He's a busy guy. We just read about just a small portion of a day, a typical day in the life of Jesus. You think he ever wanted just some me time for himself? He certainly needed it. We look around in our society today and you see pictures of celebrities in sunglasses and hats and dressed in frumpy clothes. Why? Because these celebrities, they want to hide. They want their privacy. Their message is, stay away. I want my privacy. But what about Jesus? What do we see in him? It's like Jesus is wearing one of those shirts you see at like At Barnes & Noble, all the employees, they all have all the same color shirt on, and it says, "Ask me anything, I'm here to help." Jesus is interruptible. That's what we see in Matthew chapter 8 today. It's just just reflects a typical day in the life of Jesus. But I want you to pay attention to something for starters. Jesus' state of mind and body and even soul at this point, he has every right to be tired and to tell these people who need him to go away, because this is Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, the Bible reports the Sermon on the Mount. And then it begins here in Matthew chapter 8, he came down from the mountainside. So Jesus was just preaching this long, intense Sermon on the Mount with divine truth. Public speaking experts say that preaching a 30-minute sermon is the equivalent of working an 8-hour day. Maybe listening to one is even harder, I don't know. But the energy that Jesus has just spent in the Sermon on the Mount is exponentially more than just a 30-minute sermon. So he's got to be tired. He's got to be spent. He's got to want to hang up the "please do not disturb" sign. And it says large crowds followed him. People needed him. A sick man with stage 4 incurable disease needed him. A high-ranking soldier with a humble heart and a compassion and a kindness for one of his lowly servants. So this Roman centurion trying to help someone else needed Jesus' help. And the mother of a wife of a friend needed Jesus. And the mislabeled, the misdiagnosed, the marginalized needed Jesus too. Let's talk about a couple of them, but before we talk about them, I have a question for the kids. Kids, question. How many of you kids have a bedtime? Raise your hand. Like mom and dad say, "This is your bedtime." I see a couple adults, they're like, "Please." Right? So your parents will say, "It's getting late at night," and you're like, "Oh, I want to stay out and play, or I want to be outside with my friends." They'll say, "No, it's bedtime." Now, how many of your parents just, how should we do this? Maybe parents need to close their eyes so they don't see what other families do. Kids, how many of your parents have let you on a special occasion, maybe on vacation, have let you stay up past your bedtime maybe once or twice? Yeah, all right. So that's a special time, not all the time, but special time. Stay up past your bedtime. All right, so this is such a special time when Jesus meets this leper. And let me tell you why. Because when the leper comes to Jesus, leprosy was a contagious skin disease. And in the Old Testament, there is a law that God had made that said, do not touch a leper. If you touch a leper, you yourself become unclean, and you might even get leprosy. But the law of God was no touching lepers. So now Jesus, as a matter of fact, lepers had to stay away, and when they got a certain distance close to a crowd, they'd have to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And the leper didn't yell out, "Unclean." He said, "Jesus, make me clean." He was asking Jesus to break the law of the Old Testament, and Jesus did, because it was special. Bible says Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. See, so God made this law in the Old Testament, don't touch lepers or you become unclean. But it wasn't meant to be a permanent law. Some of God's laws are, a lot of them are. So this doesn't mean we just do away with all God's laws. But this particular one was meant to be temporary in the Old Testament only, and it was meant to be fulfilled by Jesus. And so the law was meant to make people realize that we're needy, we're unclean, we need Jesus. And it was meant to be fulfilled by love. For Jesus to show that religion and being close to God is not about keeping rules, but it's about the love of Jesus that is there to reach out to you. Jesus wants to interrupt you with his love for you too. All right, the Roman centurion. The Roman centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers. He's a Roman Empire officer. So the Roman Empire is currently oppressing the Israelites in their own land, not the most healthy relationship. So the Israelites are under the thumb of the Roman Empire. So this Roman centurion, who's over soldiers, comes to Jesus, and we see in this man that he has authority and that he should probably be somewhere else right now, strategizing defense for the Roman Empire, pressing palms with politicians, or at the very least, he is ready. Whenever he's called into duty, this man is grizzled and seasoned and trained, and he's ready to go into battle. And here's the deal. Jesus has a battle for him right now. Jesus interrupts this Roman centurion's life with a servant who is deathly sick, and no one else can help. And this centurion has this heart of kindness, he responds to this interruption that Jesus gives to him, and he says, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed." See, he was trying to help someone else, but he needed help helping someone else. Jesus wants you to interrupt him and ask him for help when you're trying to help others and it's difficult for you. Jesus wants you to be interruptible too. The question is, are you? We're busy people. I haven't met another person in a long time who doesn't claim to be busy. We're all busy. And busyness, we almost wear it like a badge of honor or treat it like a justifiable excuse. Oh, I didn't remember to put batteries in the smoke detector and it didn't go off and our house burned down, but I was busy. It's all okay because I was busy. We use busyness as an excuse to not be interruptible. Jesus wants to interrupt your life a lot of times, but a big time is once a week on Sunday morning to be in worship, to study his word, to sing and pray with other believers. And we can come up with a lot of good excuses to say, "Jesus, please do not disturb." Jesus puts people in your life, and he crosses your path with people that become these opportunities for you to serve and for you to witness to and to be involved in your life and for him to express himself, Jesus, through you to them. And we can be so busy. We can be so caught up in ourselves. I have my agenda for the day. I need to get things done. I have to achieve things. Jesus, please do not disturb. Now, I know some of you out there who are very balanced in your busyness of life, very loving to other people, and you're more balanced and loving than I will ever be. But let me challenge you with this too. Maybe you are very regular on Sunday mornings, and that's good. You should be consistency, and you see people and you love them, serve them, and you're open to them. What about the people we don't see? What about the opportunities that just pass by that we don't even recognize? You can even be a people-loving person, and you love so many people that, ironically, it's impossible for you to love everyone, and there's people who sneak by because you're paying attention to other people. None of us can get this right, so at some point, we don't see all the opportunities we have in front of us, and we're saying, "I'm not interruptible, Jesus. Please do not disturb." And Jesus wants you to be like him. He wants you to be interruptible. Kids, I have another question. When you go on vacation, and I hope you do, who plans your vacation? Who plans it all out, decides where you're going to, mom or dad? Who's the vacation planner? Who gets up in the morning and says, "This is what we're doing today, and then this, and then this, and then this"? Mom or dad? Some of you mom, some of you dad. In my family, I am the vacation planner. I love planning. I love organizing. I love telling people what to do. So there was this one vacation that my family was going to take when my kids were younger. And it was before vacation. And my family snuck up on me. And I didn't see it coming, but you're not supposed to see an intervention coming. And my family performed an intervention on me. They all got together. They all sat me down in the living room. It was like a week before vacation. And they're pretty serious about this. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? Did someone die? And they said, we are going on vacation without you. We do not want you with us anymore. Making your rigid, firm, planned agendas that have us going by the minute to different locations and different itineraries, and we're not even enjoying it because all we're trying to do under your organized planning control is to keep the schedule instead of enjoying vacation. So you're not coming along this year. I thought that was a little unfair. I thought, at least give me a chance. And I also thought this. Planning and organizing is my love language. If I plan and organize something for you, I'm telling you, I love you. I'm good at that. I like it. I'll do that for you. And they were asking me not to do it. They were asking me not to love them, was how I felt. But then they continued. They were gentle and they were firm. And they said, we know you're good at planning and organizing, and we appreciate it, but you need to think of it in this way. You're over-planning and over-organizing. You're using your gift and your love, and it's smothering us. And honestly, we don't need it that much, and so when you do it, you're really not doing it for us. You're doing it for you. You're making our vacations, Dad, all about you and not about our family, and they were right. So I had two choices, not to go on that vacation or not to plan that vacation, and it was a tough decision. But I didn't plan that vacation, and it was scary, but it was good. It was one of the, as far as vacation memories, one of the ones that really sticks in my mind as a vacation, probably because it was the first one where I was trying to behave better, and we had pillow fights. Ah! Those were not on the itinerary before. They were not on the agenda, and we had pillow fights. We swam in the rain, and this is big rain, and technically, it was actually the first day of a hurricane in Florida. I don't recommend that, but I was just trying to be fun and spontaneous, and so we were swimming in the rain, and it was blustering and blowing and raining on our heads, and we had fun doing it. We even slept in, but not every day. It was scary, but it was good. It wasn't being so arranged and so controlling and so much about me. So, I confess that to you and I tell you that story because I hope you find yourself in me, and I hope you hear Jesus' voice today telling you this. I want to interrupt your arranging in your life too. I want you to take a staycation. So, a staycation is a vacation, but you stay at home. So we have some goodies here that we brought to show how we like to go on vacation. Here's a beach ball for going on vacation. Can you have fun with this beach ball in your backyard? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you can't, you're not a fun person. So, yeah, you can have fun with this beach ball in your backyard. So there's a lot of things you can do on vacation that you can do in your backyard, and you don't have the expenses, you don't have the travel time, you don't have the travel costs, and that's the idea of a staycation. Stay at home, play beach ball, play a board game, play tennis, take time off of work, but stay at home. And the idea of a staycation is the same thing. Jesus says, I want to be in your everyday life. I want to be in your everyday conversations. You don't have to go to church to have a conversation about me, Jesus says. I want to be there at work, in your driveway, as you're talking to your neighbor. I want to be in these everyday occurrences. But if you're too arranged and too scheduled and too rigid and too firm and expect things for yourself, you're not going to see me there. You're not going to find me there. So Jesus wants your arranging of your life to be interruptible. And it's scary, but it's good. And I want to start here with an encouragement for you. When you say, okay, I want to do that, how? More important than maybe behavioral skills, relational skills, time management skills. We could have workshops on all that stuff, and it's all good. But first and foremost, allowing yourself to be more interruptible by Jesus starts here. Can you trust him? Can you trust the Jesus who allowed himself to be interruptible? And we read this in Matthew chapter 8 today. And when he does, what happens? People explode in new life. People are healed. People jump for joy. Families are reunited when Jesus is interruptible. Can you trust that? Can you trust Jesus who allowed himself to be interruptible? Like the Roman centurion. I read about the Roman centurion, I think of Jesus for this reason. The Roman centurion, very high position, caring for a very lowly servant. And Jesus allowed himself to be interruptible by leaving perfect paradise of heaven and coming to this earth. As true God and as true man, Jesus was interruptible by his entire life here and his death and his resurrection. Can you trust that Savior? The Bible reading today ends with these words from Isaiah chapter 53, talking about Jesus. Says, he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. If you're a Bible student, you know what Isaiah 53 is about, and it's spiritual healing. By his wounds we are healed. It's not talking about physical healing, but here it connects the two. So he carried our infirmities. He took up our sorrows. What does this mean in this Matthew chapter 8? Here's what it means. Pay close attention to this. This is really encouraging. Nothing you suffer physically, no pain, no migraine, no backache, no tiredness, no physical weariness, no disease, no cancer, nothing you suffer physically is because you're being punished or cursed by God in any way, ever, ever. You get in a car accident and you hurt your neck. You fall off your bike and you scrape your elbow. You have eye problems. You're starting to lose your hearing. None of that is God scolding you or punishing you or condemning you in any way. Why? Because of what I just read. The curse and the punishment that can be with physical pain and sorrow, Jesus removed that and he carried it to the cross and he suffered it. That was his wound. And by his wound, the Bible says, you are healed. So even if I'm physically hurt or in pain or diseased, I'm still healed because it's a spiritual healing. And none of it is God's anger at me. None of it. I might deserve it, but it's not God's anger at me because Jesus carried our infirmities and he took up our sorrows. And so that verse is really important there for your understanding. None of it is because he's punishing you. Jesus took your punishment at the cross. It doesn't follow you anywhere. So sickness and pain, that's all just a result of living in this world, and it happens. Allergies, it happens. But it's not God scolding you or condemning you. All right, so again, can you trust the one? When you think about being interruptible yourself, can you trust the one who carried your sorrows and took up your infirmities? That's where you start. Can I trust Jesus who wants me to be interruptible? And then look with the eyes of Jesus, and what do you see? You see everyday opportunities, conversations in the line at HEB, sitting in Starbucks and waiting for your friend to arrive, your neighbors, needy neighbors who need tools that they don't have and you do. So I'm not a believer in coincidences. Not with a divine God who loves people and loves me and who's almighty and all-powerful and all-wise. I'm not a believer in things just by fate or by karma just kind of happening. I believe God is behind it all, and his love for the world and his love for sinners is love for me. And I believe that there's reason and purpose wherever I go, to whomever I speak, whatever I do, that there's a Jesus behind those intersections that are interruptions, that are more blessings and opportunities than obstacles in any way. So will you practice with me being more interruptible? And as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, maybe we take this please do not disturb sign and we adjust it a little bit. It becomes a little shorter. And we all wear this sign. Please do disturb. And when Jesus is behind it, how many more blessings will you and I realize, and how many more people will be blessed through us? Be interruptible and enjoy staycation. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for these words today, and not just these words, but your works that we observe here in Matthew chapter 8 that you've given to us in your word. We're awed and amazed at how interruptible you are and how easy you make it seem. And yet, Jesus, you were human and you had to struggle with this too. We pray, Jesus, as we all consider being more interruptible, how we balance that, how we balance it in our lives with focus and where we need to be not interruptible in order to do our jobs and fulfill our callings effectively. Sometimes we need to keep our eye on the ball. But help us, Jesus, to balance that appropriately with being flexible enough and fluid enough in our lives to look with your eyes and to see what's out there, who's out there, and how we are needed. As we do that, give us the strength and the blessedness to help others like the Roman centurion, to trust in you like the leper, and to be your agents and your vessels in a world that needs more of your love. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.